The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Qatar Airways is on an aggressive global expansion. They plan to add 16 new destinations for this year and 2019. Yet given geopolitical tensions between Qatar and its neighbours, will that limit the airline's ambitions? And what role does Malaysia play in its global strategy? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Dato Muzamil Mohamad, Country Manager for Malaysia and Brunei for Qatar Airways. Good morning, Dato, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. So nowadays, a lot of the headlines around Qatar revolves around that blockade being imposed by Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, Egypt. So that's hurting the connectivity of Qatar Airways. From your view, how is the airline mitigating the effects of this blockade?
So how we look at it is actually we look at it as an opportunity rather than a problem. So we continuously accelerate our expansion program. So what we have done, as you have rightfully said just now, we expand our network. And last year alone, we have actually launched quite a number of new destinations. And moving forward, this year, next year, we are going to launch more destinations. And some of those destinations that we are already flying, we are adding more frequency.
And does that include KL?
Yes. So KL, currently we fly 3 times a day, which is 21 times a week. Come 3rd of July, we'll be adding the 4th frequency. So by then, Kuala Lumpur will have 4 flights on certain days of the week. And in total, it will be 24 flights weekly.
All right, and we'll get more into your local strategy here in just a bit. But how do you convince customers to take up that extra capacity, right? 4 flights a day, because as it stands, you've got Qatar Airways flights that are having to fly longer routes, pushing up your operating costs because of that blockade. How do you convince potential customers listening right now to stick with Qatar Airways? I mean, given that they still have Emirates and Etihad to choose from.
Well, you know, Qatar Airways, we are the world's best airline for 2017 by Skytrax. And we have won that 4 times now. Not only we are the world's best airline, but we are also the world's best business class airline for 3 consecutive years. So in terms of product, we have a really good product. And people don't mind going a bit longer if they have to, because they get value for money at the end of the day. Those who have flown Qatar Airways would agree that we are the world's best airline.
Still, the fact remains that Qatar Airways has lost over 10% of its network.
So that's the thing. We launched Nice, for example, last year. So we continuously add new destinations for people to choose from. If we look at the number of people that we have carried last year, we carried a lot more passengers to new destinations. The beauty about Qatar Airways is that not only we fly to the primary cities in each of the country, but we also fly to the secondary cities. If I can name like Italy, for example, not just we fly to Rome, but we also fly to Pisa, we fly to Milan, and we fly to Venice. So for Malaysian, when they go on a tour, they can fly to Rome. They don't have to come back to Rome to come back to Malaysia. They can, from Rome, they can go by ground or by rail. They can go all the way up to Venice, for example, and fly on a Qatar Airways flight from Venice back to Kuala Lumpur.
So indeed, yes, Qatar Airways is expanding aggressively around the world. And as I mentioned earlier, 16 new routes slated for not just this year, but next year as well. And I think that's on top of the 11 new routes that you added last year. Is that correct?
That's right.
But how much of this is in response to that blockade on Qatar?
No, it's actually purely based on business fundamental. We continuously study in terms of what are the cities that we can actually fly, where people want to go, because we have a very good network out of our hub in Doha, which is Hamad International Airport. So most of our aircraft from all over the world arrive at about the same time into Doha. And they also depart immediately about the same time, because we are a true network carrier. We carry people from one country to the other via Doha.
Now, it's certainly brutal out there when it comes to the operating conditions in the airline industry, right? I mean, Qatar Airways set to announce a substantial loss. That's according to comments by your group CEO. Recently, I spoke to your counterpart at Emirates as well. In 2017, they posted their first annual profit decline in 5 years. You think of Cathay Pacific, you think of Singapore Airlines, they are not spared from, you know, what's going on in the broader industry. So how do you compete with not just the Gulf carriers, but other carriers in the region as well?
We have a very good product, as I mentioned just now. As long as we have got a good product, we have a very competitive fares in the market, which we do have out of Malaysia, for example. And as long as you have all these fundamental rights and you can make sure that you reach to the market, people will continually buy you. And we don't see any problem in that issue, for example, especially out of Malaysia.
So competitive price being price war, you've got to undercut your competitors?
We don't really undercut our competitors because we basically we have a strategy in terms of our benchmarking. And we take into account of our product because we know that we have a very good product. So you don't have to discount to the very, very lowest level in order to actually get the market share. Because people know and people don't mind paying a bit more if they get a better product.
Given what's coming up at the group level, it implies that there's more upward pressure on your price points. Again, I go back to the substantial loss expected for the 12 months ending March of 2018, right? On top of that, there's also talk about having to get the Qatari government to inject more capital to keep the airline afloat, to keep it operating, right? So I'm sure any investor would want some returns eventually for their investments, right? So how do you balance out, again, on one hand, being competitive in terms of pricing versus the need to deliver the airline back to profitability?
There are two things here. Number one, in terms of the profitability that you were talking about. So our group CEO clearly mentioned that even if we lose a dollar, for example, that is actually a loss because we have been making profit all this while. Number two, our premium products are actually very, very superior. And as long as you can actually fill up your premium cabin, you actually get a very good yield out of it. So that helps us to cover up in terms of our profitability.
Has it been communicated to you already from the group level that this fiscal year there will be a return to profitability? Has that been communicated?
No, not yet. Well, basically, the focus now is actually to fill up our premium cabin. You know, and as long as you can get the premium cabin filled up, you know, it's actually giving a very good return to the airline at the end of the day.
So given that we have seen petrol prices on the upward trend, you would think that that's going to push up Qatar Airways operating costs. How are you going to dampen that upward pressure on your ticket prices?
I think basically, okay, what we have done so far is that the prices of our ticket is actually based on competitiveness out of each market. We don't really look at the petrol price and then start adjusting the ticket price. That's not how we operate. As long as the fare is actually acceptable in a specific market, in this instance would be Malaysia, we're actually well and good for that.
What about forex risks then?
Well, that is actually at the a broader perspective, which is actually being taken care by our head office. So as far as a country is concerned, it is always about competitiveness.
Now, you're the spokesperson for Qatar Airways here in Malaysia. You're the country manager. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this because critics point to Qatar Airways and talk about how they are heavily subsidized by its government. The number that's being bandied about is $17 billion in subsidies over a 10-year period. It's eating into the market share. You look at Cathay, you look at Singapore Airlines, they point to you guys. So what's the airline's response to that?
Well, we have always said that we actually operate on our own. You know, there's no such thing as whatever that the other people are claiming, you know. And I think next year, we have actually agreed to actually share our books in terms of the US government's requirement, you know. So we are actually running on our own and we make sure that we operate profitability.
So just to be clear, so no subsidies?
No, absolutely, you know.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. I think the audited financial statements are expected out in June of this year.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. The code share between Qatar Airways and American Airlines, that was ended in March of this year. What does that mean for those looking to fly out of KL, out of Asian destinations, via Doha onto the States? What does it mean for them?
Well, on our own metal itself, we fly to quite a number of cities in the US. For example, Los Angeles, JFK, Washington. We also have Miami, you know, and the list goes on. And under the One World Alliance, because we are actually part of the One World, a passenger can seamlessly fly on any of the One World Alliance from Kuala Lumpur, even right to a city in the US that is actually being operated by American Airlines, for example.
So there's no disruption in terms of that connectivity?
No.
Then there's talk about, say, Qatar Airways having a code share with Cathay Pacific. You know, that's been talked about for a couple of years now. So granted, it hasn't materialized yet, but do we have a timeline here as to when it could materialize, this possible code share between Cathay and Qatar?
Not that is actually known to my knowledge at the moment.
Okay, so what kind of synergies can customers expect given that Qatar Airways took a 10% stake in Cathay Pacific? Any kind of synergies there?
Well, like I say, because Cathay is also part of One World. So as long as it's actually One World, you can actually travel from Qatar Airways and connecting on a Cathay Pacific flight, for example. So it's actually not an issue and it's actually a seamless experience for a customer.
Now, let's talk about your main hub, Doha International Airport, set to double its annual capacity from about 24 million to over 50 million passengers per year. How much of that extra capacity is expected to be filled by passengers out of Asia, or if you could even boil it down to Malaysia?
Southeast Asia is actually part of the region which we're actually rapidly expanding. And we have got a lot of frequencies out of Southeast Asia itself going through Doha. For example, out of Kuala Lumpur, as I mentioned earlier, we have 21 flights weekly and it's going to be increased to 24. And Penang, we started in February. We have 3 flights at the moment. We're going to add the 4th flight on the 17th of June this year. Now, Singapore, we have got 3 flights. Out of Thailand, for example, not only we fly from Bangkok, but we also fly out of Chiang Mai, out of Pattaya, Krabi, Phuket, you know, just to name a few. Indonesia, we have out of Jakarta, we have out of Denpasar. So all these will add up into the capacity and the people that we carry out of Southeast Asia via Doha, and then they will actually spread over into Europe, US, Africa, and so on.
I'm speaking to Dato Muzamil Mohamed, Country Manager for Malaysia and Brunei for Qatar Airways. This is BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Breakfast Grill. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me is Dato Muzamil Mohamed, Country Manager for Malaysia and Brunei for Qatar Airways. Now, Dato, Qatar Airways has been flying to KL since 2001. What kind of growth have you seen over the last 17 years or so?
Oh, huge. You know, we started like 3 flights a week, and now we are 3 flights a day out of Kuala Lumpur. And soon there'll be the 4th frequency added, effective 3rd of July, out of Kuala Lumpur into Doha. And we have brought in various types of aircraft into Kuala Lumpur. Currently, we are operating on a 330, we have the 340, and soon the 4th frequency will be on a Boeing 787, the Dreamliner. We also have brought in the 777 before into Kuala Lumpur, you know. And we started Penang in February this year, and Penang is operating on a 787 Dreamliner. In fact, it is the first Dreamliner to be operating out of Penang. Never, ever before a Dreamliner operates out of Penang, so we are the first. So a lot of exciting times and exciting things that we have planned for Malaysia, you know. So it has shown rapid growth out of Malaysia.
What about your flights to Langkawi? When's that going to happen?
Our group CEO has announced that part of the expansion plan this year is actually to add on Langkawi. So we're actually in the process of finding when would be the right date to actually start operating Langkawi.
Third quarter, fourth quarter? Come on now.
It's too early to say.
What about those new A350-1000s, brand spanking new planes? There's a lot of hype out there in the aviation world. Can we expect the A350-1000s to ply the Doha KL route?
Not at the moment, because we have only taken delivery of only one aircraft at the moment. So, you know, in the whole entire network, we only have got one A350-1000. But we have got a few 350-900. And into Singapore, it's actually being operated on a 350-900. All the three flights are actually on a 350.
And what's your average load factor for flights between Doha and KL?
It's in the high 80s.
High 80s. Yeah. Consistently.
Consistently.
So now, going back to your global expansion plans, though, now you mentioned that you are going to add more flights to Malaysia, going to go up to 24 per week. And then you've also got ramping up our frequencies to cities in Vietnam, you know, cities in the Philippines as well. So where does Malaysia stand in terms of the Asian presence for Qatar Airways?
Malaysia is actually one of the most important country in terms of contribution for Qatar Airways. And currently, like I say, we continuously expand our capacity in Malaysia. And we have a very good share in terms of revenue as well coming out of Malaysia.
In other words, now, how is Malaysia different from the other countries in the region?
I think Malaysians are more of like, they are very concerned about what do I get when I spend the money. So as I said much earlier, our products are actually very, very good.
You know, but other airlines are promising the same thing as well, right?
I know, but you have flown Qatar Airways as well, right? I'm sure you have.
I have, yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you would have actually be able to attest to what I've just said just now.
Well, I'm not going to do the selling for you here.
So, but what I'm saying is that I have spoken to a lot of passengers. You see, the beauty about Qatar Airways is that the moment we are able to put a passenger on board, they will always come back.
That's a big assumption, right? But it is an increasingly competitive market, right? Just to say they'll always come back, well, that's not entirely certain, right? So how do you make sure they keep coming back? Given, as you mentioned, you know, they are perhaps more price sensitive. They want to make sure they get value, they get bang for their buck.
We are actually, in terms of pricing, we're actually very competitive in the market, as I mentioned just now, in terms of both business class and also economy class. And we have a very good network, especially out of Doha. And the connectivity is actually superb. I'll give you an example. From Kuala Lumpur to Doha, 3 flights a day. From Doha to London, for example, we have 8 flights a day. 6 into Heathrow, 2 into Gatwick. So the shortest minimum connecting time allowed for you to transit in Doha is 45 minutes. And you can even choose if you want to actually break your journey in Doha and enjoy a bit of Doha, and come back to the airport and continue with your flight. Mm. So we have that as an offering.
But the connectivity, again, has been hurt. Transit times have been cut shorter, you know, compared to in the past. So how do you make sure that those transiting through Doha still has that quality connectivity that you often promise?
Standards are not being compromised here. Like I say, minimum connecting time is 45 minutes. But usually Malaysian, as I've seen, they prefer to, you know, be in transit for about 2 hours or 3 hours, because they also want to enjoy the 5-star rating of Haman International Airport. Basically, Doha Haman International Airport is the only 5-star rated airport by Skytrax in the Middle East.
Speaking about airports, let's talk about KLIA. You operate out of there.
Yes.
Are you happy with the state of KLIA?
It can be better.
How so?
Facilities given to the passenger, for example. I sometimes find that the airport turn out to be a little bit gloomy. It's because of the natural lightings that they use. So sometimes when there's no sun, you know, it tends to be a little bit dark. The feeling is, you know, kind of a dark in the airport. The other thing is actually the toilets. I know that they're upgrading the toilets, but, you know, if you compare with Haman International Airport, it's absolutely different, you know, and I've seen both. And I think that because we also have a lot of labor movement coming through KLIA, and that is also part of the reason why sometimes the toilet, for example, are not up to the mark.
And what about the aero train that seems to break down every year, sometimes multiple times a year?
Well, the airport is actually now more than 20 years, I believe. And I think it's about time that... and I believe Malaysia Airports is doing all it can to actually make a lot of changes. they have the bus services ready 24 hours, which you can actually use. Not only when the train breaks down, but also if it's in running condition, you have an option if you want a bus. It's there, basically, you know. So they're doing all they can, I guess. But I think that the train is actually a little bit old now.
How much engagement do you conduct with MEHB?
A lot. We, through our board of airline representative, which is BAR, we always have discussions and meeting with them. On a personal note, Qatar Airways also have got engagement directly with Malaysia airports regularly.
All right. And what about with MAVCOM? What's your relationship with them like?
Well, when you want to add frequencies and so on, you need to get their approval. So we do communicate with MAVCOM as well. Probably not as frequent as we connect with MEHB because they are the service provider, basically, you know, whereas MAVCOM is more of a regulator.
Right. And one of the things that MAVCOM has tried to do is to equalize the passenger service charges between KLIA and KLIA2. Those equalized rates should have kicked in this year. But according to a local media report, that has yet to be enforced. So those yet to be equal PSCs, do you see that as a disadvantage to Qatar?
No, I don't think so, because we only operate from Kuala Lumpur to Doha. We don't have other routes out of Kuala Lumpur. And as far as a passenger is concerned, they have to pay anyway if they're flying out of KLIA equal.
So let's end on this note. What's your outlook for the Malaysian market for Qatar Airways?
I think there are great opportunities. And as I said, because we realize that there are a lot of potentials out of Malaysia, that's why we're continuously growing our capacity out of Malaysia. And Malaysians always like to travel. And if there's anything new, they will always like to try. And introducing a lot of new destinations by Qatar Airways actually gives a lot of opportunities to Malaysians to actually fly and experience new places.
So demand, spending power, you see that growing from Malaysians?
I can see that in 2018 is actually growing and it's actually even much better than 2017. Probably May is a little bit different because we have the election coming.
All right. So we'll see once the GE14 overhang is over, we'll see if that translates into a boost for Qatar Airways. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Dato Muzamil Mohamad, Country Manager for Malaysia and Brunei for Qatar Airways. I'm Tan Chung Han and this is BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.